Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community on what is looking like a snowy morning. One of the ways that we keep warm is through our faith in God's presence with us, and you can check out your bulletin. There are announcements and calendars in there to see the ways in which you can participate as we are church together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today to receive any of your questions or comments. Also, the hospitality register at some point in time, if you'd sign that and slide it down, and that way we can also greet one another by name. A few announcements as we begin this morning. First, Jamaica travelers, I hope you are ready. We are leaving bright and early. It actually won't even be bright when we get to the airport on Saturday morning. It'll still be dark. But we do have our last orientation with parents today at 12:15, 12:30, whenever Sunday school gets out. And if you have not already, folks, there are cards on the table just outside the sanctuary. Please sign those. All right, a few other announcements. Frona, you're up first. Go.
Looks like it's going to be a good day. All the young people are ready. At public worship the other night, we talked about some of these, what do you call them, cushions that people sit in. We kind of thought it might be nice if you can leave your cushions right where they are. The ushers will pick them up. And it might make it a lot easier for a lot of people. And the best part of it all is there's no extra charge. So go for it.
Ginny. Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to call your attention to your bulletins, where there's an announcement today about the community flea market and craft sale. This is a transformed yard sale, in case you're wondering. This is just a short paragraph, and you'll be hearing a lot more as time goes on. But what I'm really here for is to ask for volunteers to play on our team. So far, we have 5 good, strong, experienced people who are excited to make this event both fun and profitable. But we would like to have a couple more people, particularly those who might have ideas or opinions. That's important. On how we can downsize the yard sale into something a little bit more manageable. If you're interested in playing on our team, please see me after church, or you can call me at home. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Al.
February is the first month that we serve a meal at St. Joseph's in the 2015 calendar year. So coming up on the 21st is the day that we're going to serve a meal. And the weather forecast is for more of the same. Cold and snow all through February. So we're all pretty sure that nothing warms the soul and the body as much as a good big plate of GPC goulash. So the sign-up sheet is out on the board, and there's lots of openings, lots of opportunities to donate food. And for those that like to bake cupcakes, you don't have to frost them because we're going to have a lot of energetic junior highs serving that meal, and they're going to frost them if you supply a can of frosting alongside. So you can just make up a batch, throw them in a bag, and it's easy to transport. So sign-ups out on the kiosk. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie.
Good morning. It's so good to be back here with you all again. It was an exciting announcement for the Sunday school classes today. We're doing a Fusion Room program, which means that Polly and Mike Moore are bringing Iowa to come and spend some time with the Sunday school. So parents of kindergarten to first graders, please go to pick up your child at the end of Sunday school in the Fusion Room, room 4, because they're going to be right there. Confirmation class today is going to be having a fellowship trip to Sky Zone. So I think I found you all and talked about it, but meet here at 5, and we should be back a little bit after 7. Also, on February 28th, we have a training coming up for anyone who is interested. Sunday school teachers are especially encouraged to attend. It's called Stewards of Children, and it's a 2-hour training from 10 to noon on the 28th, which is there to sort of help with awareness and prevention of child abuse and child safety. And so if you would like to take part, everyone's welcome. Presbytery-wide, tell your friends, and just let me know as soon as possible. You can email me or sign up in the kiosk. Thank you.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts and our minds, our entire selves, to worship God.
Good morning. Would you please stand with me as you're able and join me in the call to worship? We gather to sing praises to God.
With joy we sing God's goodness.
God unites the scattered people.
Heals the hurting and the brokenhearted.
God delights in those who worship. We trust in God's steadfast love. Thank you.
To the junior choir for introducing us to that song, since it was one that I hadn't heard before, and glad that you all could sing along with us this morning. And as we bring our praise and thanksgiving to God in gratitude, we also bring all that we are, all of our brokenness. Let us share together in the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. How can we look at this world and not sing your praises, O God? Yet we have a tendency to take it all for granted. We disregard your creation with callous indifference. We treat your people as commodities to be used. We believe church is a place we go and forget it is who you call us to be. May we hear the stories of our faith once more so that we learn how you would have us live. We are yours, loving God. Help us to live and to know this better. Share together in our silent prayers of confession. Jesus has come to heal our spirits and our souls. New life is offered to you in Jesus Christ. God's love is poured out to us this day. Amen.
Thank you.
So will you walk with me? Come on over here. And all the children, if you would like, if you would come forward, please. And why don't, let's see. You sit right here. But we'll turn this way today. I know, I could get you turned around all over. All sorts of directions, don't you? Hi, good morning. Well, thank you, friends, for reminding us this morning with your song about all of the many ways that we walk and sing and talk with Jesus, and we share that love with our neighbors. And did you all know that there is a group here from Gates Presbyterian Church, some seniors in high school, and a few adults who are going to be walking with Jesus all the way to Jamaica? Okay, we aren't going to walk. We're going to take an airplane. Yeah. And we are going to share God's love with our friends in Jamaica as they share God's love with us. And so at this time, I'm going to invite Tammy Pignon, who is the chair of our youth committee, up to the front. And she is going to gather all of the folks who are going on this trip together to commission or bless or say, yay, God, together with this group. And so I'm going to need your all help because there will be a question. One of the last questions will be if you all and the whole congregation will pray for the mission travelers. So will you make sure that you give a big I will during that? Okay. Hi, friend.
She's a group, but she's big. She's my friend.
Awesome. Friends are so good. Well, Tammy, what friends do you have for us this morning?
All right. I would like to invite Brandon Faulkner, Laura Keeling, Rachel Molina, Beth Molina, Mary Hadley, and Melissa DeRosia forward.
I got a jump start. I'm sorry. Sorry.
As Melissa said earlier, the mission team will leave very early in the morning on Saturday to travel to Jamaica. They will work with our partners at the United Church of Jamaica in Green Island, Negril, and Santoy. They will be working with the students, teachers, and staff at the basic school. They will be painting in the church in Santoy and working to feed the hungry in Negril. Do you accept this work, understanding it is an expression of your love for God and for God's people? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
As you do this work, will you also open your hearts to the people of the Green Island, Santoy, and Negril communities, continuing to build the partnership between Gates Presbyterian and the United Church of Jamaica? If so, please say, I will. Will you listen to the life stories of the people of Jamaica? And will you share your stories with them so that together you will discover ways in which God is working in the world? If so, please say, I will. Members of Gates Presbyterian Church. Yeah, that's them. Will you pray for these mission travelers as they seek to serve God? If so, please say, I will. Let us pray together. O God, who calls us to service, we pray for this Jamaican mission team. Keep them safe in their travels. Focus them on their purpose. Energize them for their work. Help them to experience you in the partnership we have with the United Church of Jamaica. Amen.
Thank you, Tammy. Amen. See you at 12:15. And amen. You guys have fun in Sunday school, or if you're in kindergarten, preschool, and first grade, you get to go to the fusion room. So head that way. Have fun.
Our first scripture reading today is from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11 and 20c. Listen now for the word of God. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord.
In the gospel reading this morning, from the first chapter in Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came, took her up by the hand and lifted her up. And then the fever left her and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And Jesus would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions, they hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on. Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The author of Mark's gospel accounts for the good news of Jesus Christ at a pace we will recognize very easily from our lives today. Hurried. Mark doesn't have time for some fluffy birth narrative with a cute 8-pound, 6-ounce baby and haloed angels and dirty shepherds that we know and love so much from Luke. Genealogical accounts with all those unpronounceable and unfamiliar names. That's Matthew's lengthy shtick. And then those theological meanderings of John's gospel may do well so that people will come to believe. But Mark cuts right to the chase. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who knew the gospel writer would have such foresight to make the first statement he writes in the gospel tweetable? No matter the number of characters, or even if you know what tweetable is and means, Mark barely takes a breath before John the Baptizer appears and proclaims a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins, and then Jesus surfaces up from the waters, and that separation of heaven and earth are ripped apart, still drenching. Wet, the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness where he again will connect to God's presence in his life. Jesus emerges from the wilderness and immediately, it's one of Mark's favorite words to keep his readers moving along, Jesus goes to Galilee proclaiming the kingdom has come near. And then the disciples, just four of them, are called from their nets, and Jesus casts out a demon from a synagogue to the home of Simon and Andrew, and on through Galilee. Jesus barely has time or space, or I'm going to guess energy, to catch his breath, to sit in prayer. He's a man on a mission. And Werner Kebler wrote that Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, indeed has a very clear mission. He came to announce the kingdom of God and to initiate its arrival in opposition to the forces which threaten to destroy human life. Wow. So these healings, exorcisms, his defiance to the Roman government, his challenge to the religious elites, his temper in the temple, even his execution and resurrection, all move in Mark's gospel at this very fast pace towards this single purpose, to oppose that which impedes the flourishing of human life. And the irony of our story this morning, so early in the gospel, is Jesus slows us down twice to pay attention to how this hurried way of being in and of itself gets in the way of the flourishing of human life. Now, the obvious moment is when Jesus sets off early in the morning, right, to pray by himself. That may not sound very appealing to anyone who is not an early bird. But the other opportunity is not quite as noticeable. It's there in verse 31, where Jesus came and took Simon's mother-in-law by the hand. He lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So there are all sorts of reasons to speed right on past the verse. The first being temptation to make jokes about mother-in-laws, which none of us, right, would ever do. Ever. No jokes about mother-in-laws. Some of you are sitting next to your mother-in-law, so very good. Straight face. Another is that compared to demon possession, a fever doesn't sound like a very big deal. But we know nothing about this fever that Simon Peter's mother-in-law fell to. And without modern-day medicine, we can imagine that this fever could have debilitating, even deadly, effects. And one of the reasons I tend to skip by and over this verse, and when I do treat it, I do so with caution, is because when I slow down with it, I tend to get hung up on the gender dynamic here at play. Because really, women are so rarely mentioned in the Bible. So why is it that this woman is healed and the very first thing she does is get up and serve them like a waitress at the diner? So I could explain this little detail away, spending a whole entire sermon on the cultural domestication of women. While that might be helpful to explore the injustice of patriarchal oppression in the Bible, right? And in today's world, relax. I gave you an uncomfortable sermon last Sunday, so we won't go there this morning. Because the reason we're going to slow down with this verse and with Jesus is to reflect on what it means for Simon Peter's mother-in-law to go from the isolation and loneliness of her bed to full participation in the life of the community. For this woman, suffering from a fever was more than a physical illness. This illness meant she was unable to fulfill her responsibilities of contributing to the well-being of the community. It also meant she was isolated from all the people in the household and the community. There's no mention of Simon's wife, the mother-in-law's daughter. There's no mention of grandchildren. There's no mention of well-being folks who have come to surround her and care for her. It's just her, cut off fully from engaging in her community and from her calling to practicing hospitality to these guests that have gathered in her home. And in the fast-paced action of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus slows us down. He stops. And he reaches out a hand and he lifts the woman up. And he heals her. Not only from the sickness, but from the isolation, impeding her life from flourishing. And that is when she begins to serve. And she serves in the same way that Jesus will later be described, that Jesus will later describe the essence of his own ministry. It is to serve rather than to be served that characterizes the kingdom of God and the ways in which all human life can flourish. And so in this way, Sarah Henrich notes that Simon Peter's mother-in-law is far from being an exemplar of a pathetic, unliberated woman for whom serving men is her whole life. Rather, she is the first character in Mark's gospel who exemplifies true discipleship. Jesus' healing ministry was about restoring those who have been cut off, isolated from God, and who God created them to be, to participate fully in community. I know this sounds familiar for many of you all gathered here this morning. Tired, exhausted. Some of us only half here and half present in other places in your life, going over in your mind how much snow is going to fall today and how am I going to get it all shoveled. I need to get to Wegmans, my grocery list, and Jamaica participants, how full is your suitcase? And we can continue to push through on sheer will and determination to sustain ourselves at that pace, that hurried pace. But it doesn't take Jesus to tell you that eventually it could kill you. The abundant life that Jesus promises isn't just handed over. We meet it halfway and connect to something greater than our own will and effort to sustain us. Author Tammy Fowles tells this great story that has always helped me to understand this concept more fully. She talks about the gifted poet and speaker David White, who was visiting with Brother David at Steindl-Ranst one evening after a very long and stressful day at work. And White had been struggling with whether or not to leave his job to pursue his calling as a poet full time, and shared with Brother David that he was absolutely exhausted. Fowles pictures the two of them in this warm, dimly lit room with wine glasses held onto lightly and a book of Reich's poems resting on a low table beside them. And the poet's broad shoulders are slightly slumped and his dark head bent. And his wise and loving friend is leaning in slightly towards him as he very gently says the following. You know, David, the antidote to exhaustion is not always rest. White tilts his head, shifts his position slightly, as something not yet definable stirs quietly within him. The antidote to exhaustion isn't necessarily rest, he repeats slowly. What is the antidote to exhaustion, then? And now White, who is leaning forward, entirely receptive to the gift some part of him already knows is on the way. The antidote to exhaustion, Brother David responds, is wholeheartedness. We live in a world that is more than willing to run us ragged from one place to the next and consume us with busyness and cut us off from that which matters most. And Jesus' healing ministry, one to which we here at Gates Presbyterian Church are also called to, involves first and foremost our finding ways to slow down for a moment, to take the time to reach out and connect with each other and with God. And in that process, we don't need to berate each other with the woes of how the world has changed. The realities of exhaustion and stress and busyness already isolate us enough from each other. Jesus' ministry and ours involve slowing down like this morning. You're not doing nothing. You're not still home in bed with a newspaper and a cup of coffee, though sounds enticing. And maybe Sunday morning feels like the wee hours of the morning, like when Jesus went out. But friends, you have made the effort, and I am so glad you have, especially on a snowy day like today, to be here, to connect with God and with one another. And here, it is here together we participate with Jesus in the kingdom of God and the ways in which we can practice being wholehearted together. May it be so. Thanks be to God. And as we practice our wholeheartedness and connection to one another and God, we do so with the communities of faith who have long gone before us as they profess their faith together. We will say together the words of the Nicene Creed, which are found on page 34 in your purple hymnal. If you would please stand as we read them together. Let us confess the faith of the Universal Church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light,
true God from true God, begotten, not made, and of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The time in our service when we come together to share all of the joys in our lives that we'd like to bring to our church community, and also to lift up the names of those that we are fearful for and would like to pray for. Who has something that they'd like to share today?
Andrea Ellison, my brother-in-law, Ralph, is in the hospital. He has a broken femur, so prayers for him and for his wife, Mary.
Yes. Praise.
Dick Stewart, I'm proud to say that Christine and I will be celebrating 43 years of marriage this week.
Oh, congratulations.
I'm so happy today. I have my nephew, Jacob, walk up with me. And I'd like to tell you about Charlie. He's doing good. He got through the surgery. He had two hernias, and they wanted to get right in there, and I was scared. But he's doing good, and he's home. And I just want to say how blessed I am that when I feel tired and scared, and I call my family and I call my church family, and you always give me strength. Thank you.
Thanks be to God.
Marge Westfall, I'll be moving next month, and this is a difficult time for me, and I'd like to ask for your prayers. Thank you very much.
Lots of prayers, Marge, lots of prayers.
I would like to ask for prayers. My Nana started her trip down to New Mexico on Thursday, and I hope she had safe travels. I'm not sure if she's there yet.
Travel mercies for your Nana.
We have one more over on the far side over here.
Thank you for not throwing the microphone.
Mr. Coons.
Ed Coons. Kathy and I ask prayers for Kathy's niece, Susan, and her husband, Randy. Randy's been living with terminal brain cancer for almost the last 2 years. This past week, he went into hospice. We'd ask prayers for Susan, Randy, and their three children. Thank you.
Prayers for the entire family. And from our children this morning, prayers of joy for going to a talent show and for friends coming over and for snow.
Okay.
Prayers for wrestling 3 days this week and being able to go to jazz concerts in Florida. Prayers for sleep after going to bed at 3 a.m. last night. Prayers for the family, too. And also prayers for one of our young folks whose teacher's nephew died. We pray for that family.
Let us also lift up now Walt Priestley and Hannah Walker, who are recovering from health issues, and also Randy Mosher's sister Linda, recovering from surgery. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we know that wherever we are, however we call out to you are listening, that your eye is on us, and that your love reaches down to cradle us, no matter where we are. God, we give thanks that you are here with us in the snow, that your light helps to brighten the world, make everything shine like it's new. We are grateful for the people who keep us warm, for the places that we know comfort and joy. And we ask that we be a source of light and warmth wherever we go in your world, that we may also share our joy with others. We ask that you especially give love to those who are stuck at home, maybe getting a little antsy, waiting for the warmth again. For those who are taking care of people who are ill, you may give them comfort and strength. And for those who are recovering from illnesses and surgery, that you may give them patience, God. Guide the people who care for them and help us all to remember them in love. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who knew how to slow down and wait and listen for your voice, and who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Now let us continue our thanks and gratitude for God's presence with us and in all our many blessings as we receive this morning's offering.
Pray. Loving, living God, open our ears to hear the cries of your neediest children. Open our eyes to see human injustice. Open our minds to think about compassion in all circumstances. Continue to increase our willingness to give so that we may lead lives fully focused on ministry to others. We bring these offerings today in gratitude for your guidance and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
we go from this place confident in Christ who is always beside us, the love of God that is always with us, and the courage and the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps us moving and slows us down. Thanks be to God. Amen.